and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's Gospel, we hear of a man who brings his son afflicted with epilepsy and kneels at Jesus' feet, recounting how his son falls at some times into the fire and at other times into the water. And he says that he first brought his son to the disciples to be healed, but they were unable to heal him. And it's clear that he had a deep desire for his son to be healed by the fact that he brought his son to the disciples and he's now kneeling at the feet of Jesus. He desires for his son to be healed. And I feel for him, both as a father and as someone who has deeply desired God's help in difficult situations. I feel for him. And I too am rooting for him. Christ, heal him, please. Do it. Hear his request. And yet, Jesus sees beyond that surface level request of healing to not only heal the son of his leprosy, but also this man of his faithlessness. At first, before he heals the son, he responds to the man just after he points out the disciples were unable to heal the son. Jesus says, "O faithless and perverse generation." He calls not only the man, perhaps also the son, but the disciples, faithless and perverse generation. And he calls this man faithless because rather than blaming the disciples for not being able to heal his son, what this man needed was to have faith. And yet, despite this man's faithlessness, Jesus has mercy on him, and he heals the son. And so as I was contemplating this account in Scripture, I began to ask myself, what are my excuses? Where do I tend to throw the blame? What do I blame for my sins and my faithlessness rather than myself? Was it that I had an exhausting day or didn't sleep well? Maybe I'm just going through some difficult things in my life, overwhelming family obligations, waiting for God to take that first step, even though he already has. All of these things are things that I've said to myself at one point in my life or another. And I began to wonder, how often has my casting the blame on something other than myself prevented me from receiving the healing that I needed? Multiple times we hear in the Gospels that someone comes to Christ with a desire to be healed, and they are met with the response, "Your faith has made you well." What a great response. What a great thing to hear. Your faith has made you well. But this is not one of those times. Rather, it's indicated that his faithlessness was a hindrance to his request. And so, brothers and sisters, faith is the starting point. Doesn't necessarily have to be an emotional faith, one filled with great feeling, an outpouring of love and thanksgiving to God welling up inside you, although this is something to work towards. It doesn't have to begin with that. It can be as simple as deciding to trust in God rather than to despair. To trust in God rather than to throw our hands up in frustration and say, "I give up. This is just too much." To choose faith over cynicism. not to turn to faith as a last resort when nothing else works out, but to run to it as our first and only refuge and hope. In a few minutes, the clergy are going to do matanyas in front of the altar and say, the beginning of Psalm 17, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my firm foundation, my refuge, and my deliverer. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my firm foundation, my refuge, and my deliverer. What a beautiful prayer. When we are stuck in this rut of faithlessness and the passions, how do we make that turn towards faithfulness, towards having the Lord as our strength, our firm foundation, our refuge, and our deliverer? Well, it begins with a choice. Julia Maria, wherever she is, likes to remind me that Father Tom had a saying. You know, you can just choose not to sin. Just don't. You can choose to be faithful. Just be faithful, Father Tom would say. So we have to make the choice to be faithful, to choose the Lord as our strength rather than something else. And it's important that we pay attention to what and who we look to. You know, we've all heard the saying, you are what you eat. Well, we become what we eat, what we see, what we listen to, where we go, what we say, and who we spend time with, and so on. If we look to the world, we become worldly. If we look to Christ and the saints and the church, then we become holy like they are. In St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, which we read this morning, he writes about the apostles, to the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are ill-clad and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become and now are as the refuse of the world, the offscouring of all things. Do we look to this example of the apostles? While the worldly things are certainly attractive and perhaps comfortable, we enjoy them. As Christians, we need to not give them the desire, love, and faith that belongs only to God. Do we love God more than our stomachs? But then fasting becomes easy. Do we value Him more than our reputation? It becomes easy to endure persecution and to bless those who criticize us. Do we desire peace more than conflict? If so, we are able to befriend those who berate us. When our hope is in the heavenly things, then not having all the material things, or even appearing as the refuse of the world, doesn't matter. Going back to the gospel, after the man's son is healed, and Christ instructs his disciples in having faith even like a mustard seed, the gospel concludes with Christ preparing the disciples for his passion, saying that he will be delivered into the hands of men and be killed, showing them that he goes to his passion willingly, and adding to that painful truth, hope and joy, that he will also rise on the third day. Let this also be our hope and joy and the cause of our faithfulness. Amen.